Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Nutritional deficiencies can be very significant to the health of infants and children. Their growth and development might be hindered by deficiencies in essential vitamins or nutrients. Now, the question is, are our children getting enough nutrients in their daily diets? And how can you tell if your child has a nutrient or vitamin deficiency? To get some answers, we'll be speaking with Ethel Lim, Dietitian, Nutrition and Dietetics Department, KK Women's and Children's Hospital, next on Money FM 89.3 in Health Suites.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome into Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today we speak with Ethel Lim, a dietitian, nutrition and dietetics department, KK Women's and Children's Hospital, about nutrient deficiencies in our children's diet. Ethel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Now, like I said on the phone before I put you live, it's been a while since my children have been children. And it's been a while since I've had to worry about nutrient deficiencies with them because they feed themselves now. But for parents of young children, what are the most common vitamin and nutrient deficiencies that we see now?
So actually, we don't really have a very good understanding of what specific nutrient deficiencies Singaporean children currently face.
Mm-hmm.
The data that we do have generally focus on diet quality, which can also still be an indicator of how well-rounded our children's diets are. So recent studies that we do have, one of it was published in 2019 by Brownlee et al., and they evaluated how similar the dietary habits of Singaporean children aged 6 to 12 are compared to food-based dietary guidelines. So the overall findings actually suggest that only 14% of children met the recommended intake of whole grains, 16% only met those of fruit, and 21% of vegetables. So the intake of total rice, meat, dairy, and the alternatives actually met or exceeded recommendations. And this was actually quite similar in a GUSTO study, in short, we call it GUSTO. It stands for Growing Up in Singapore Towards Healthy Outcomes. And this study also highlighted similar trends among Singaporean infants aged 12 to 24 months. So the intake of fruits and vegetables were actually frequently below the recommended amounts. And these findings can actually, they do actually align with global data and is also a reflection of our modern diet. The fruits and vegetables are actually really valuable sources of vitamins A, C, K, B6, folate, potassium and magnesium. So that's just to name a few.
Okay, so what I'm getting is even though Singaporean parents in general are more affluent, we can afford to feed our children better. Maybe we're not paying as much attention to the quality of what we're feeding them in terms of the nutritional value. So we may be feeding them, you know, in nice restaurants and the food may be expensive, but we're not necessarily paying that much attention or maybe we're not even aware of the nutritional value of what we're putting on their plates.
And I think the concern with what we eat today is that a lot of food options and choices actually do tend to be energy dense and nutrient poor. So having a balanced diet, really, it's something that the parents will have to think about and be quite focused on the creating that variety of meals that our bodies actually do need. Because for families who mostly eat out, it is quite difficult to actually meet the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables in order to achieve the children's daily requirements for vitamins and minerals. So making that conscious effort in terms of their food selections, I think that actually will be really important in order for children to obtain an adequate diet.
It is actually quite challenging, though, as a parent, you know, as a working parent, even more difficult because children in general don't want to eat their whole grains. They don't necessarily like their vegetables. They might like some fruit, but not others. And they are vocal and confident enough in this modern world to tell us, nope, I'm not having that. And, you know, mealtimes become a bit traumatic for both the parents and the children if they feel that way about certain nutrition-rich food that they may not like. So how do we get beyond that difficulty, shall we say?
And I think the habit of having well-balanced diets actually start from young, starts from when the child first weans onto solid foods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for parents to also realize that parents are not only the food providers, but they are also crucial role models. So, I mean, beyond the fruits and vegetables and beyond brown rice and wholemeal breads, there are also plenty of other staples. You have brown rice bihun, you have soba, you have whole grain wraps, there's dosa, there's chapati. And, I mean, finger foods also need not be highly processed food items. So fruits and vegetables can also be a good way to combine different food groups and create healthy snacks. So, for example, having cheese and bean-based dips with wheat crackers, or using these dips to make it into a fun finger food for the child, because children like to get their hands dirty. So having a variety of fruits and vegetables and of also different colours can be quite appealing to them, perhaps raising it in terms of, you know, having fruits and vegetables similar to the palette of a rainbow.
The palette of a rainbow.
Yeah, so, I mean, different fruits and vegetables contain different colours, and they also then have different nutrient values as well. And the different colours will then help to give the family a good mix of nutrients. And these can very easily be incorporated into a variety of snacks. And I feel that having children involved in meal and snack preparation from an early age, whether they're 3 or 4 years old, simple things like mashing bananas or even stirring certain foods and mixing a salad together, those can also be good ways to cultivate the child's interest in foods.
All right, we're speaking with Ethel Lim, Dietitian, Nutrition and Dietetics Department, KK Women's and Children's Hospital. You know, if there is a lack of one of the nutrients and vitamins you mentioned, is there one that's more serious than others that could lead to long-term health issues?
I think when we're talking about children, at the end of the day, there is a variety of vitamins and minerals that they do need, especially in terms of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So what we generally would look out for would be your vitamins A, B, C, D, E, K. You also have minerals like calcium, iron, iodine, and even zinc. So if there is a nutrient deficiency in one of those, some of them can present quite early on. So the child may seem a bit more lethargic, may seem a bit more pale, or even start to have a bit more of a stunted growth, or even fall ill more easily. So other than the vitamins and minerals, actually having enough macronutrients, being the carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, will also be necessary in providing the body with enough energy for growth and the activities as well.
What about multivitamins? I mean, from my time when my children were very, very young, the pediatricians were always recommending that they took multivitamins because I couldn't guarantee that I would be able to get them to eat enough vegetables or fruits or grains at that point in time. Is that still the thinking, that if they're not getting those nutrients, then we give it to them in a multivite tablets, maybe?
I think the first line is to actually be able to encourage them to have a variety of foods.
Mm-hmm.
If worst case scenario, for example, if your child is taking less than a total of perhaps 20 foods in their diet, or having perhaps major tantrums when encouraged to eat or interact with a certain food item, or sometimes kids may also insist that foods are being prepared in a certain way or only accepting specific brands, I think multivitamins and supplements may be useful in such, in more extreme cases of fussy eating.
Mm-hmm.
It is ultimately not a replacement for a healthy, balanced diet, because there are some vitamins and that can be harmful if they are taken in large doses over a long period of time. So, for example, an excess amount of vitamin A can actually lead to increased pressure in the brain and also skeletal abnormalities in infants, which can cause brain injury. Having too much vitamin C, for example, which is quite common in a lot of multivitamins and supplements, it can also cause gastric irritation and even diarrhea. So if there is a need to give your child a supplement, it is definitely important to make sure that it is given according to the recommended dose and is age appropriate as well. Oftentimes there are supplements in a gummy form. They can be quite tasty. Packaging may also be really colorful, but at the end of the day, the supplement should be treated like a medication.
Right, of course, because they're tasty and because the kids might like them, there is a danger that you're giving them too many.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about common nutritional deficiencies, even in adults, things like iron and vitamin D. How are those addressed in children, in our younger children particularly?
If we're talking about iron levels especially, iron levels, we do tend to commonly see them in teenagers.
Okay.
And some older, slightly older women, if they're intending to get pregnant also. It is also a very common and widespread nutritional disorder in the world. So the ways to really, I mean, we really need to focus on the types of foods that will matter to them at that point in time, and then encourage the intake accordingly. So every individual is also a bit different. That's where seeing a dietitian can be very helpful.
Are there screenings for these kind of deficiencies that may be a little bit more important, or that for the minerals and vitamins are a little bit more important to ensure that's in their diet?
Unfortunately, screening is not something that will commonly be done unless there is something that the pediatrician is particularly concerned about. So things like if a child or a person has low iron levels, they may present as being very lethargic, being tired more easily, looking a bit pale. Low folate and vitamin B12 levels also present in a similar fashion, being short of breath a bit more easily also. These are quite easy things to pick up. If a child is, you can see that there's a slower growth. If a parent is plotting their child's growth on the growth charts in the health booklet, that's also something that can be brought up to the pediatrician, and then they may test for any vitamin and mineral deficiencies.
Right, we're speaking with Ethel Lim, a dietitian, a nutrition and dietetics department, KK Women's and Children's Hospital. Now, we talked about what the children should be eating and how to make it more interesting for them. And you also touched on parents and how important what they see their parents doing is. Now, a lot of parents my age and a lot of my contemporaries were not big fans of eating our greens, and maybe we're not eating enough fruits and vegetables in our diet. You're saying that that's going to pass on as a mindset to our children as well?
Yes.
So we're going to have to choke down our greens and our vegetables as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if the family is having a well-balanced diet, and what the parents put on their plates is going to be of a similar proportion to what they provide to their children, then parents are then definitely, they should be able to make sure that parents, the children have enough of the foods of the right proportions on their plates as well. So if we think about the healthy plate concept that has replaced the food pyramid system, the healthy plate concept is actually a very quick and easy guide to creating balanced meals for the whole family. So regardless of the size of the person's plate, and of course that also depends on the age of the child, as a rough guide, to fill, you know, 1/4 of your child's plate with grains, 1/4 of the plate with lean proteins, and 1/2 the plate to actually be filled with vegetables and fruit. Well, I mean, then depending on the age of the child, that will then determine the absolute volume of food that needs to be present on the plate.
Okay, there are certain foods personally that I'm not particularly fond of, like chickpeas and things like that, but I love hummus. Mm-hmm. Does that count as a replacement?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, I mean, the hummus and the chickpeas, you know, they're just different forms of each other. So if, for example, if the child doesn't like chickpeas, mm-hmm. right, having, like what you've done for yourself perhaps, having the hummus instead of the actual whole chickpeas,
right.
the nutritional value will not change very much.
Mm-hmm.
We're just presenting in a different form. So for example, if a child perhaps doesn't like to eat bananas, but is very okay with it being perhaps a banana flavor ice cream, what we could do is take the whole banana, peel it, put it in the freezer, and have it like an ice cream popsicle.
Right. That's interesting, because that was one of the only ways I could get my children to eat certain fruits. If we froze them, then they thought it was more fun. So you're saying, you know, be creative with the food. They may not like it in its original form, but you'd find other ways to get them to eat it.
Yep.
All right. What other advice, before I let you go, what other advice do you have for parents to boost the nutrient and vitamin intake of their children? This is a huge challenge as a parent.
I think especially in busy times like these, if parents do have the time to really prepare their own meals at home, What I would suggest is also how we handle foods and make sure we avoid storing vegetables and fruits for long periods of time, because the vitamin content of these fruits and vegetables are actually a bit more prone to oxidation, and the nutrient content will decline over time as well. If it's something that the parents are not able to prepare immediately, being able to freeze certain types of fruits and vegetables may not actually be a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
because it is actually a form of preserving the nutrients when you freeze your fruits and vegetables as well. So adding them directly into the meals or quickly cooking them, so stir-frying and blanching vegetables may also be a good way to minimize destruction of these vitamins, instead of perhaps boiling it for a long time, and then vitamins like vitamin C and folate could easily be destroyed with heat as well.
All right. We've been speaking with Ethel Lim, Dietitian, Nutrition and Dietetics Department, KK Women's and Children's Hospital. Thank you so much for giving us the time today, Ethel.
Thank you for having me.
It was absolutely our pleasure. This has been Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.